Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Thank you so much for joining us. Maybe a little unusual to have an open forum on Wednesday. Why be dogmatic about such things? We got plenty of other things to be dogmatic about. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Taking your questions this hour will be Jimmy Akin, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers. Open forum is a question and answer free-for-all. We invite calls from anyone, whether Catholic or not, and we let you choose the topic. Any question you have for Jimmy on any topic of a religious or moral or even philosophical level, those questions are welcome. The phone number, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. Tim Staples will join us the second hour. And open forum lines can fill up quickly. So if you have a question, now is the time to start dialing that number, 888-318-7884. But in addition to being open forum today, Jimmy, today is pledge drive here at Catholic Answers Live.
It is. And we've got a little extra urgency today because yesterday we didn't make our goal.
No, we did not.
We had a goal, I believe it was $28,000,
yep.
And we fell almost $8,000 short of that. So we have a goal for today of $30,000. We really need folks' help to make that up because it's your contributions that keep Catholic Answers Live on the air. Your contributions make Catholic Answers work possible, including the new efforts we have, like we're now streaming right now on Facebook and Twitter and Periscope, and we have plans for additional video outlets so that wherever you are, whether you are a radio listener, a podcast listener, whether you're listening on an app or you like to listen and watch by video, we want to bring the show to you, but we need your help to make that possible. So by all means, give us a call. The number to make a donation is 888-291-8000. We have people standing by right now to take your donation, so there are lines available. You can also go, if you have difficulty getting through, or if you just prefer to give online, you can go directly to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and make your donation safely and securely there on our secure web server. So those two options, 888-291-8000 and CatholicAnswersRadio.com. They're both available for you there, but we do need you to call now. I always encourage people, Cy, to do it while you're thinking about it. Because
yes.
I know I
right.
myself, if I don't do things when I'm thinking about them, I forget. And so this is the time, please be open. Please be open-hearted towards this request and be generous because, you know, as our Lord said, it's better to give than to receive. You're more blessed that way. God will bless you, and you can access that blessing and know you're supporting God's work by calling 888-291-8000 or going to CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
Jimmy, he also called us all to participate in the mission of sharing the good news, and I'm new here to Catholic Answers, but Catholic Answers Live is one of the great tools, really, for sharing that the good news, for defending the faith and all of that. So participate in that. Be part of the team that makes that happen, and you are, in each of our different ways, we're answering that call to help share the good news as Jesus called us all to. 888-291-8000. As Jimmy said, if you can do it now, the other great thing, Jimmy, we got 2 hours of a great program today. Get it done now. Let's just say that. Get it out of the way now. Pick up the phone, give a call. Lots of folks standing by to take your calls, or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. If you can help support Catholic Answers today, we can come closer to that $30,000 goal today than yesterday.
Because remember, we didn't make the goal yesterday, so we need to make up for lost ground today.
Very true. 888-318-7884. And what does the money do when you give money to this the Catholic Answers Live Pledge Drive? Well, it allows us to keep producing this program. It allows us to have these lights in this studio that we have on, the cameras that share this all over the world via the internet now, which is really exciting. And more than anything, it maintains the possibility that someone out there, maybe a friend, relative of ours, yours, your as the listener, maybe someone that you want to be brought back to the church, but maybe someone you will never know who needs to have a question answered, a concern assuaged or explained. You know, if it's there, then that good will be done. You may not know about it until you have left this earth and find out on the other side of how many people were helped by that, making that message available. 888-291-8000 is the number. If you are able, if you are in a position right now, maybe not, well, if you're not driving on the freeway, pull over to the side. But, you know, if you're somewhere where you can call, get it done now. If you could, please, 888-291-8000. Help support us here at Catholic Answers Live. It is open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. We will be happy to take questions on any area of Catholic life or faith or the life of non-Catholic religions, philosophies, moralities. All those things are open. We're ready to take those calls. We go, Jimmy, first to Mary in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Mary, you are on with Jimmy Akin.
Hi, Jimmy. I had a question about the Pharisees.
Okay.
Well, kind of a couple. I wanted to know if there were any female Pharisees or if they were male only, if they were married.
Okay.
Was there any female involvement in that sect?
Well, there was certainly female involvement because the Pharisees did practice marriage. There were some Jewish sects where celibacy, in addition to marriage, was practiced. There was a group like that known as the Therapeutae in Egypt, and the Essenes in Israel also had some celibates. But they also had some marrieds. And the Pharisees, so far as we know, didn't really practice celibacy. There may have been individual celibates here and there, but for the most part, they were married. And so there were wives of Pharisees who presumably would have shared, most of them, their husband's views on religious matters and would have counted as belonging to the Pharisee school of thought in that sense. Having said that, they may or may not have counted as Pharisees in the public mind, because the role of women in first century Palestinian Jewish society was not as open as it is today, or for that matter, as it was in some other ancient societies like Greco-Roman society. As a result of that, the Pharisees, when we read about them and in all the references I've seen to them, at least that come to mind, it's always men who are being talked about, a group of male leaders. But they were very influential, and there were certainly women who supported Pharisee ideas, and not only their wives. In fact, there's a famous passage in Josephus, the Jewish historian, where he talks about how one of the Jewish rulers, Queen Alexandra, was very influenced by the party of the Pharisees and supported them greatly when she was on when she was ruling Israel. This was in the time shortly before, within the first couple of centuries before Christ. And so there were prominent women supporters of the Pharisees. I'm not aware of, off the top of my head, though, of a text that specifically talks about a woman as a Pharisee.
Thank you so much, Mary, in Denver, for your call. It's Pledge Drive Week here at Catholic Answers Live. We are asking for your support. Before we go to another call, I'll just give you the number real quick, 888-291-8000. You can call that number to join the team here at Catholic Answers Live and help keep this program on the air, or you can go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com to do the same thing. Stephen in New Orleans, Louisiana, listening on 960 AM. You are on with Jimmy Akin. Stephen, your question.
Yes. Hi, Jimmy. I have a question about when a person dies and if they are fortunate enough to go to heaven, are there varying degrees at which a person experiences the joys of heaven?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when a person dies and that, say that person's committed many sins during his life, and right upon his deathbed, you know, repents.
Okay.
And
okay.
You have another person that tries to live his life to the best of his ability, cooperate with God's will, and acts in ways pleasing to God all his life and asks for forgiveness upon his death, will one person bask more in the glory of heaven over the other?
The teaching of Scripture is that there are different degrees of heaven that people will experience. So some people will experience pure joy in heaven because there's no mixture of pain in heaven. That's one of the things that John makes clear in Revelation, that the time for pain and sorrow and mourning and tears, all of those things have passed away in heaven. So there won't be any sadness in heaven, but there are different degrees of joy. And that's something that's brought out in a number of passages. One of the ones that's clearest and that models the situation, Stephen, that you're talking about most closely is in 1 Corinthians 3. In 1 Corinthians 3, St. Paul says that no man can lay a foundation other than Jesus Christ. We all build our Christian lives on the foundation of Christ, but we can build in different ways. And so some people, he says, build with wood, hay, and straw, whereas other people build with gold and silver and precious jewels. And these are metaphors for the quality of the works that we do in our lives as Christians. Do we do selfish things, wood, hay, and straw? Do we do supernaturally loving things, the gold and silver and precious stones? Whichever we build with, he says, our works will be tested by fire. And if we've built poorly with things like wood, hay, and straw, those things that we thought we had done to build our lives will vanish. And we'll still get into heaven, he says. Such a person will still be saved, but it'll be like escaping through flames, like you're coming out of that burning building made of wood, hay, and straw. On the other hand, if you built well with the gold and jewels and silver and so forth, then your work will survive the testing by fire and you'll receive a reward. So even if you convert at the last minute and open yourself to God's mercy on your deathbed for the first time and have no good works to speak of, you'll still get into heaven. You'll still have unalloyed pure joy, but you'll have a higher degree of that if you've performed good works under the influence of God's grace and built, in St. Paul's terms, with the precious materials that will survive the testing by fire.
Great question, Stephen. Thank you so much for that. One of the ways, Jimmy, that people can give during the pledge drive, well, at any time actually, that's really very helpful to us is the monthly pledge.
Yes.
So a monthly pledge allows us to have a certain level of planning. We know what's coming and all that kind of thing. So we do have a couple gifts to give to those who may be able to make a pledge of $18 a month or mm-hmm. more.
Okay. And
so any pledge of $18 a month or more, we're going to send folks during this pledge drive Temptations, where they come from, what they mean, and how to defeat them by Father P.J. Michelle. And then Benedict XVI's Last Testament, in his own words, an interview book with the journalist Peter Sewald.
Right.
A beautiful, beautiful book.
Yeah. This one, I was waiting for this to come out. Peter Sewald has had a number of book-length interviews with Pope Benedict back when he was Cardinal Ratzinger and now here as Pope. And they're always fascinating interviews. I recommend them all to people. And especially I was waiting for this one to come out because it touches on a lot of things concerning his pontificate and including why he left his pontificate. There are a lot of rumors about that, and he clears them up in this.
Yeah.
He also, it's called Last Testament because it may very well be the last of these interview books.
Right.
With Pope Benedict. And so it's a very special book. I've been reading it. I'm not yet finished, but it's a fascinating read and it's very spiritually informative. And it's one of the things that you can get if you are able to support us by making a monthly pledge of $18 a month or a corresponding one-time gift that's proportionate to that. They have all the information about that when you call 888-291-8000 or when you go online to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. And you can find out not only about these two things, the book on temptations by Father P.J. Mitchell and the Last Testament interview with Pope Benedict. But we also have another premium that we have if you're able to help us out in a very special way.
Who Am I to Judge is a very fine book by Dr. Edward Sree. And there's a whole companion mm-hmm. set that's from the Augustine Institute that accompanies that book. So we have the three DVD set of mm-hmm. From Who Am I to Judge. And this is for anyone who can give it the $500 level one right. time or more. And the thing about these, Jimmy, is the question, Who Am I to Judge, I think people will recognize from Pope Francis asking that a few years ago. And what Dr. Sree did was he mm-hmm. took that question as a reasonable question as a way to yeah. get into discussions of the moral life, a real, really one of the best discussions you'll see of moral relativism. Mm-hmm. And then he gets into the law of love and what Christ has given us in the law of love. It's magnificent stuff. Dr. Edward Sree is a real special gift to the church, I think, his work. And for a donation, one-time donation, say, of $500 or more, you would get all of the DVDs, the study book, and Benedict's Last Testament and the book on temptations.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't forget, with the DVD set, you also get the study guide. I'm holding a copy of it right here. This set is part of the Catholic Encounter series on bringing faith to life. And again, Who Am I to Judge? It's subtitled Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. So you know that sometimes the Who Am I to Judge question is used, or Who Are You to Judge, is yeah. used to kind of enforce relativism, you know, right. and say, well, you shouldn't make any judgments. You shouldn't discern between good and bad. But this is a response to relativism with logic and love. So it's going to show you how you can answer that kind of challenge. And of course, that's very important, once again, because relativism is so common in our society. And you can find out more about that by calling 888-291-8000 or going to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. You know, I understand that yesterday we had a call from a gentleman who said he was a Baptist, but he liked the show. He wanted to know, do we receive any funding from various networks that we're on and so forth?
Yes.
Are they supporting us in that way? And unfortunately, the way things are structured, you know, each network and station needs to raise its own funds. So the answer is no, we don't. We don't receive support from dioceses. We don't receive support from networks or stations. It's really all down to your support of the show that makes it possible. So right now, while you're thinking about it, please call 888-291-8000. That's 888-291-8000. Or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
888-291-8000 is that number. It is open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Jimmy Akin taking your questions. We go to Andrew in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Andrew, your question for Jimmy Akin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a firm believer in transubstantiation, mm-hmm. and I know that the church teaches that the substance of the bread and the wine changes while the accidents remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How does that not violate the principle of non-contradiction?
Okay, so the law of non-contradiction says that no thing can be both true and false at the same time in the same respect. And in this case, there's no violation of the law of non-contradiction because accidents and substance are not the same thing. So you can have accidents – accidents is a fancy term for appearances. You can have appearances that look one way when the substance is something else without there being a contradiction. A famous example would be like when you see that illusion of heat on the highway. You're driving in the desert, you look down the road, you see that it looks like it's fluctuating like water is there. So the appearance is that there's water on the highway in front of you, but in reality it's not. It's an illusion caused by the heat arising from the asphalt. And so that's an example of where appearances suggest one thing, but the substance or the reality is something else. And there's no violation of the law of non-contradiction there because the appearances, whether it's of water in this case or of bread and wine in the case of the Eucharist, is not the same. The appearances are not the same as the substance or the reality, namely the asphalt or Jesus Christ in the other cases.
Andrew, thank you very much. Excellent question. 888-291-8000 is the number you can call during this pledge drive and help us keep Catholic Answers on the air and keep Catholic Answers growing. I will remind you that if you would like to see as well as hear the program today or almost any day, you can go to Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope, where we are streaming live. And visit us there. We're happy to take questions from those of you on Facebook Live. But I would just say this, if you're maybe you're someone who's watching us on Facebook Live now or YouTube Live or Periscope, and you would like to support the effort for more people to be able to get us in those alternate, venues, then maybe this is a good time for you to call and help support those efforts. 888-291-8000 is the number. It's open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. We go back now to Jorge in North Hollywood, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Jorge, you are on with Jimmy Akin.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. I have a question regarding salvation of souls. People who have faith in our Jesus Christ and all His teachings and in the Church, but unfortunately never had the opportunity to be baptized into the Church. Mm-hmm. Is there any hope for their soul to be, you know, in heaven? Do they pass on? Mm-hmm. It's something I've been struggling with for a while, right. And just wondering.
Well, the Catholic Church's teaching is that, yes, there is hope, because if someone is not able to become a Catholic through no fault of their own, then God will enable – God's not going to hold that against them. He'll enable them to be saved as long as they otherwise cooperate with the grace that they've received. So if someone has a positive response to God's grace and they're not able to, you know, fully embrace the faith or fully become part of the Church for whatever reason, you know, let's say they're – you know, they might have a terminal disease while they're in RCIA and they might die before they're able to be received into the Church. That would be just one example. It'd be an obvious example of where someone was, through no fault of their own, was unable to be received into the Church. But it illustrates the principle that it's not an absolute necessity for one to enter the Church. It's a normative necessity. It's what God wants. It's what He intends. And if through your own fault you say, nah, I'm not going to do that, well, then you're in trouble. But if through no fault of your own you're unable to do that and you otherwise are striving to respond to the grace that God has given you, then God will make it possible for you to go to heaven. And you can read more about that in the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. That actually makes me feel real good. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you, Jorge. We go to Brian in Richmond, Virginia, listening on Catholic.com. Brian, your question for Jimmy Akin.
Yeah, hi, guys. My question is, I was wondering, I hear a lot of Catholic apologists, I hate to say throw out the number of 30-some thousand Protestant denominations, mm-hmm. and I haven't been able to find that number anywhere mm-hmm. online. The highest I can find is the U.S. Census Bureau, which puts it at a little over 200. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what the source is for that. And also, if you could, how do they define denomination? Because it seems like a lot of the ones that they list as denominations really are separated in name only.
Okay. The source for that figure is it's a big encyclopedic set called the World Christian Encyclopedia, and there have been different editions of it. I haven't checked the most recent edition to see what number it has. I recommend a little caution in citing that figure, because the World Christian Encyclopedia, and you zeroed in on the key issue, which is how do you define a denomination? The World Christian Encyclopedia has kind of its own definition for that, and it doesn't fully correspond to what an ordinary person would think. So it would, for example, consider the Catholic Church, because it has presences in different nations, to be like 230 different denominations. Well, there's only one Catholic Church, and so you can't just take the number from there without doing any further analysis and processing. Unfortunately, I can't unpack that too much more right now because we're heading into the break. I think there are legitimate situations where you can say, well, this is two different denominations. They may agree in faith, but they refuse to be joined as one body. Huh. That's still two different denominations, but... that's about all I can do with it at the moment. Hope that helps.
We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live would like to take this opportunity to thank our partners in airing our daily program. Please support the stations and networks that carry us each day, ensuring that we have a platform for broadcasting the show. And please bear in mind that while we do not have to pay for airtime on our affiliate stations, neither do they contribute to the operating costs we incur. It's a great relationship, but it requires that we turn to you, our devoted listeners, for your prayers and financial support to cover our ever-growing expenses. Please call 888-291-8000 right now and help to keep Catholic Answers Live strong. That's 888-291-8000. Or you can donate securely online at CatholicAnswersRadio.com. What began as a humble one-hour daily show that was carried by four radio stations has, with the generosity of many fantastic people like you, blossomed into a two-hour broadcast heard on hundreds of AM and FM stations, the Internet, Sirius XM Radio, Facebook, YouTube, and via podcast. We don't make that possible. You do. We simply cannot continue this media mission without your most generous gift today. Call 888-291-8000 or log on to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and donate now. People tell us all the time how much they depend on Catholic Answers Live to help them better learn, live, and share their faith. What they're really saying is they depend on you for that. Will you come through for them right now? It only takes a couple of minutes to make a huge difference at 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Again, 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. No matter how much you give, be assured of our gratitude and know that God will richly bless you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. It's important that you take this important step right now, today, to make sure that Catholic Answers Live is here tomorrow and for years to come. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live Open Forum today. Jimmy Akin, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, ready to take your calls on any aspect, life or faith of the Catholic Church, any aspect, well, any religious question you've got at all. Jimmy is happy to take those. The number, if you would like to get on the line for Open Forum, 888-318-7884. I do suggest you get dialing because we have found that those lines fill up pretty quickly. So 888-318-7884 to participate in today's Open Forum with Jimmy Akin. But before we get there, Jimmy, I don't know if you know this statistic. We shared this on – I think you do. I do know that you know this statistic.
Yeah.
But out of all the stations that we have, this program is supported by 13 listeners at
per station.
Per
tower.
Yeah. Per tower. Right. Well put. And it hasn't always been the case. At one point, it was as high as 18.
Right.
Per tower, and we've actually come down.
Yeah, though that's been because of the growth of new stations, which is a great thing.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
But
it
is kind of sobering when you realize that we do all that we do with this show based on just 13 people per tower.
Right.
And, you know, that's not the way that would be the ideal, because if we could find a few more people per tower who would be willing to be generous and support the program financially, it would enable us to do a lot more. You know, we've been talking the last few days about how we're expanding into these new realms, like we're, you know, on Facebook and,
right.
and Twitter, and we're live streaming the show now, which is great. We're planning to expand even further with a television edition.
Da, da, da.
But that's going to take additional resources. We
it
have
does,
to have people
indeed.
Who are going to edit right. that and put it together. And so we really need your help. And the way you can help us is by calling 888-291-8000 or by going to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. That's 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. And we mentioned at the top of the show, I'm sure we have some new listeners now who weren't able to hear this at the top of the show, but yesterday we did not meet our goal.
Right.
And so today we have a new goal. We've got $30,000 as our goal for today. We're 25% of the way done with being able to talk about this today. We have 2 hours to talk about it. Now we've only got an hour and a half, so we really need your help to make up for lost ground. We'd like to thank you when you're able to do that. If you're able to contribute at various levels, we'd like to send you a book by Father P.J. Michel on temptations, where they come from, what they mean, and most importantly, how to defeat them. I know that we all have temptations in our lives. I do, you do, and that means that this book is one that could help you deal with the issues that you have to face in your life. Also, we have the profound book of Pope Benedict's wisdom, Last Testament. It's one of his easy-to-read interview books with Peter Sewald, and it may be the last one of these we get. So by all means, we'd love for you to have this. And then, of course, if you're able to contribute, I believe it's at the $500 level.
Right.
We have the Catholic Encounter Series DVD and study guide set, Who Am I to Judge by Dr. Edward Sree. As you know, who am I to judge or who are you to judge is a question often used to kind of stymie Christians. Yeah. But this set is all about – and to, you know, kind of get them to be relativists, yeah, or at least kowtow to relativists.
Yes, right.
And this is about responding to relativism with logic and love. And so it will show you how you can respond to that challenge we hear so often in our society today. Again, the way to get those is by calling 888-291-8000. That's 888-291-8000. Or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. In the case of the phone line, we have people standing by right now to take your call. We want to make sure that they're busy. They're there to help you out and help you make your donation and answer your questions. If you're not able to get through on the phone lines for some reason, or if you just prefer donating online, you can go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. And, you know, that applies not just to people here in the U.S. and Canada. We have listeners all over the world, and you might not be able to call our toll-free number from all over the world, but if you're listening elsewhere in the world, you can go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and support us there. We don't talk about this very often. We only talk about raising the funds we need for 6 hours every 3 months on the air. Just 3 days for 2 hours every 3 months. So we really try to keep it to a minimum. But that means when we do talk about it, we really need your help. So please, right now, while you're thinking about it, 888-291-8000 or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
We're just a little bit behind, so maybe you can help us make up some of that ground this half hour. 888-288-291-8000 is the number. 888-291-8000. Well, it's open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. We go now to John in Waterloo, Iowa. John, you are on with Jimmy Akin. What is your question?
Well, I had a question about who wrote the book of Revelation attributed to John.
Okay.
And I had called the public library here to get the answer.
Oh, boy.
And she told me that nobody knew who wrote any of the Gospels, that they were all anonymous, they didn't know. And I said, well, what about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, a pope in the year 101 determined that they were the one that wrote the Gospels. And I thought, that doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
So a friend of mine gave me your number to get the correct answer that the Catholic Church teaches.
Okay.
Who wrote and how did they know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote them?
Okay. Well, this is an illustration of not relying on the reference desk at your library for religious knowledge. Do not trust the eternal fate of your soul to a reference librarian, as much as the good work they often do is. The church doesn't have a teaching about who wrote the Gospels or the Book of Revelation. It considers that a question of history rather than of faith. The important thing is that these documents are the inspired Word of God, and we can trust them. And so that's the most important thing. The question of who did God use as his instruments in writing them is a secondary question. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean we can't know something about who wrote them. In the case of the Book of Revelation, it expressly identifies itself as being by John. It doesn't give us much more information than that, but it does indicate it was written by someone named John. And the majority opinion has down through history has been that it's John, the son of Zebedee, who is the brother of James, one of the original 12 apostles. That's been the majority opinion down through history, and that's the opinion most people have today. There has been some dispute about that, though. In the early centuries and also today, there was some thought that it may have been a different John. And that's something that Pope Benedict talked about, actually, that the author, since he chose not to further identify himself, apparently wanted to leave this as a bit of a mystery. It was known to his original audience who he was, but he didn't want to lock it down for everybody by making it fully explicit. In terms of the Gospels, it's not really accurate to say they're anonymous. Something's anonymous if the author deliberately hides himself so that, you know, if I wrote a book and sent it to a publisher and told the publisher, don't put my name on it so no one will know who I am, well, that would be an anonymous book. But if I wrote you a note, Cy, and I put it on your desk, and even if I didn't sign it, you could see, okay, this is my penmanship, so you know it's by Jimmy.
Right.
Well, it's not really anonymous, even though it doesn't have my name on it. And that's the situation we have with the four Gospels, because they were written to specific people. Like Luke was written to a guy he refers to as Theophilus. Well, Theophilus obviously knows who's writing to him. He probably was Luke's patron. He probably paid for Luke to be able to write that gospel, to gather all the materials, because back then books were really expensive. And so Theophilus certainly knew who Luke was. So Luke wasn't an anonymous work. The same way with the other gospels, the evangelists were not rich men, so they needed sponsors, just like we do here on Catholic Answers.
nice tie-in.
They needed supporters to make their work possible. And so the people who were supporting them obviously knew who wrote these books. They were the first audiences of the books. And this is I guess kind of where the rubber hits the road in a certain respect, the names Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were attached to the Gospels from the first century onward. It was necessary that as soon as you had more than one Gospel in a congregation being read, you needed to have ways to refer to them. And so right there from the first century onward, the names Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were attached to these Gospels, and so that's who wrote them. We have first century evidence that that's the case. It wasn't a later pope. It was the practice of the church from the first century onward to use these names for them as their authors. And that's something that the German scholar Martin Hengel has written very incisively about.
Very good. Thank you for that question, and thank you, Jimmy, for that answer. 888-291-8000 is the number for the pledge drive. This is our pledge drive week. As Jimmy said, we only come to you 6 hours every 3 months, and we are joined now in studio by Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you? Jimmy, I can't believe you left out of your answer there that you just produced a DVD for us called Can We Trust the Gospels, which goes into this in great detail.
It does. It doesn't go into the authorship as much.
Sure.
But the historicity of them, yeah. And people, in fact, if they're supporters of ours, will be getting a letter letting them know about that DVD soon.
Actually, I think if they go to Catholic.com right now, it's already advertised on there. So visit Catholic.com. But Cy, that's not what I came here to talk about.
Okay.
First of all, I want to thank everyone who's been so generous to us so far on this radio drive. And I want to issue a special appeal right now to anyone who has listened to this show but has never made a gift. And maybe you've been listening to this show for a month, or maybe you've been listening to it for years. You've derived great value from it. We have testimony in the building that comes into the building all the time from people saying how their lives have been changed, how they've been brought into the church, how they've been brought closer to Jesus Christ, how they've been brought back to the church. Right, and how do we put a price tag on that? I don't know. What does a soul cost? Well, it's infinite value, right? But for $100 gift or $100 a month, right? Those pledges are very important to us. Those monthly pledges, you will find out on the other side of the veil how many souls you helped bring to Jesus. So, my friends, 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000, or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. I also want to stress something that Tim Staples talks about when he's on here, and that's attrition. So we get new givers who support the show, but there's always some who fall off. And that's why it's very important for you folks who've never given before to come and join the Catholic Answers Radio family.
888-291-8000 is the number to do that. And we were, Chris, just before, just a few minutes ago, Jimmy and I were talking about that it's only 13 people for state per, well, you said tower
right,
are currently supporting us. So there's got to be quite a few people who fall into that category of I haven't given.
Yes.
And I haven't. And if you could now, we can get that number up to 14, 15, 16. Well, maybe we'll get back to 18 where we were at one time.
Or let's double it. Let's get it to 26.
Okay. There we go. All right.
Very easy.
That's why you're president of Catholic Answers.
My friends, I want to tell you one more thing, and I'm going to turn this back over to the experts. 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000. If you call and you're on hold, please be patient. Those wonderful ladies in customer service, they're going through the calls as quickly as they can. So please be patient or go CatholicAnswersRadio.com to make your gift online. I want to say one more thing. When you're investing in Catholic Answers, it's true that you've helped us buy this new equipment, this magnificent studio. We're streaming online. All those things are true. But we had visitors in the building on Monday, some people I was showing around. I was happy to show them around. It's my favorite thing to do as president is show people around the building. And at the end of it, they said to me, "You have a first-rate team here, and it's very clear to me that everyone is happy to be here." And I said to him, "Look, everyone at Catholic Answers is an apostle. Everyone is here because he loves or she loves Jesus Christ. That's why they are here." So, my friends, the thing that you invest in most when you make your gift to Catholic Answers, 888-291-8000, is this extraordinary team. And you see Jimmy and Cy. Everyone here on the other side of the glass, all the people in customer service, all the people in shipping and receiving and in publishing and in the magazine and all the other countless works that we do. And it is a blessing, I can tell you, to be at the head of a crew. Everybody here loves Jesus, and that's what you're investing in. 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000. Thank you so much for your generosity.
888-291-8000, CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Thank you very much, Chris. It is our pledge drive here at Catholic Answers Live this week. We do, in fact, need your support. It is not a matter of, we're doing okay otherwise. In order to remain or to continue to produce this program, and also, in addition, in order to continue to present this program through all the video platforms, and as Jimmy was saying, on the new television show that's coming, we need your help. We need your support. I have to tell you, I feel very strongly it's worth supporting. And so I have no qualms about saying maybe there are folks out there who right now are very, very blessed and can support us with a significant gift, maybe $1,000, maybe $5,000, maybe $10,000. And the reason – I'm going to go right to callers, Jimmy, in a second. But the reason I say that now is we have another day of pledge drive tomorrow. So if you're someone who can make a gift that would work as matching funds – I can't even tell you how much that helps us.
You can call in and say, "I'd like to give $1,000 or $2,000 or $5 or $10," because there are people who can give all of those amounts that are listening to us right now and who have thought about giving us those amounts. You know, there are people out there right now, because we have thousands of listeners. There are people who have been saying, you know, maybe I should do that. Maybe this is something that God would have me do, and I'd like to receive the blessings from God that He will give me, because as St. Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. Someone has been thinking, maybe I should do that, and maybe I can help increase the effect of my gift by making a challenge to others and say, I know there are other people out there like me who can make similar gifts, or who collectively can give smaller gifts that will add up to the same amount. So I want to say, take my $2,000 gift and challenge people to give another $2,000 in response. And so if you're one of those people, we'd love for you to respond to that call and to give us a call at 888-291-8000 and let the customer service representatives know that you want to make a challenge to other people to support Catholic Answers Live so that it can bless others the same way it's blessed you. And the number again is 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000. Just let them know.
Open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. We go now to Chris in Phoenix, Arizona, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Chris, you are on with Jimmy Akin. What is your question?
My question has to do with an article that the Pope was quoted on, saying that when we read creation in Genesis, we run the risk of imagining God was a magician with a magic wand able to do everything, but that is not so. And my daughter is having, is struggling with what the Pope said and the creation story. And I'm trying to figure out a way to explain this to her.
Okay. Well, I'm not familiar with that quote. And so, and I found it's generally best to take whatever the press reports Pope Francis is having said with a great deal of skepticism, because frankly, it's really poor quality reporting these days. Most reporters, and I say this as someone who's been interviewed and known what I said to the reporter and then see what they quoted me as saying, and it can be very different. And so I urge skepticism regarding the press in general, but in particular when the press is reporting on a religion story, because most religion reporters, they don't know what they're doing. I would wonder if I had heard the Pope say what this story apparently attributed to him myself. God, obviously, he's not a magician with a wand, but being omnipotent, he can make everything, and he could make everything directly by himself without any of what theologians call secondary causes. A secondary cause is like if God were to create me and then let me do something. Well, yeah. God used me as a secondary cause to produce an effect that he could have done himself. So God could have done absolutely everything in creation all by himself, but we know because he created us and other things in the world like gravity and the weather system. We know he does also use secondary causation to do things. So, but he could do it all himself. So that's the first point I'd make. In terms of the creation story, if you look in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it has a section where it explains that the creation story is not meant to give us a scientific account. In fact, there's more than one creation story in Scripture. They're found at several different places in Scripture. And they're not meant to provide a scientific account. They're meant to give us a theological account that explains the relationship of the world to God. And the fundamental point that is being made is that God made everything. It didn't always exist. It didn't pop into existence by itself. It wasn't made by gods, multiple gods like pagans believed. It's the product of a single loving creator. And that's the fundamental point that's being made. And you can show that there is a degree of symbolism being used in these texts through a variety of means. One of the things that leaps out at me is the fact that if you look at the 6 days of creation in Genesis 1, if you take that creation account, it initially says the world is formless and empty when God first makes it. And so there are two problems that the world needs to overcome. Number one, it's formless. Number two, it's empty. And if you then look at the 6 days of creation, on the first 3 days, God solves the formlessness problem. He gives the world form by separating day from night, and by separating the sky from the sea, and then by separating the waters of the sea so dry land appears. So now he's given the universe structure or form, but it's still empty. And so in the second 3 days, in days 4 through 6, he goes back to the exact same realms in the exact same order and populates them so they're no longer empty. So on day 4, he goes back to the day-night cycle and populates them with the sun, the moon, and the stars. On day 5, he goes back to the sky and the sea and populates them with birds and fish. On day 6, he goes back to the dry land and populates it with the land animals and man. And so now all of the different realms that God structured in the first 3 days have been populated in the second 3 days, and the problems of formlessness and emptiness no longer apply to the world. He's perfected the world that he's made. Now, how do we know this is involving symbolism? Well, the ancients knew just as well as we do that it's the sun that causes it to be day.
Ah, yes, right.
And the sun, on this account, isn't created until day 4, 3 days after the day-night cycle has been set up. And so that would have told the original audience that what the author is doing here is not trying to give a scientific account or even a chronological account of what God did. He's taking the work of the creator and fitting it into the framework of a Hebrew week. And we know that's the device that he's using, because then after structuring the universe and filling it, God then rests on the seventh day. And that makes it a complete week. And so really what we have is a literary device where the author uses symbolism to communicate what the creator did. That's the important thing. God did all this stuff. It wasn't some pagan collection of deities. God really did all this stuff. And it's presented in a very beautiful literary way to us. And the author shows us that he's doing it in a literary way by having the sun not be created until the fourth day.
Thank you very much for that question. Jimmy, as we've been mentioning a couple times, we are on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Periscope. You can get us in all those places. And Adam from Facebook Live submitted the following question. Is it better to receive communion in the hand or on the tongue? My priest says we get the authority from Rome to allow it in the hand. I'm not questioning his answer, but it just doesn't seem right to receive Jesus in the hand.
Well, the priest is correct that Rome has allowed bishops' conferences like the U.S. Bishops' Conference to give permission for communion in the hand under most situations. There are some exceptions, but under most situations, it's permitted. In terms of preference, I thoroughly respect people's preference if they prefer not to receive it in the hand. In fact, that's my preference. When I receive communion, I always receive on the tongue. But that's my preference. It's not something that is intrinsically superior. There's nothing wrong with receiving communion in the hand. My tongue is not intrinsically more holy than the palm of my hand. They're both parts of me. And so the early church fathers, in fact, recognized that one could receive communion on the hand. There's a famous quotation from Cyril of Jerusalem talking about putting your two hands together to receive Holy Communion, making a throne for the Lord like you would a king. And so this is a longstanding practice in the church, and it's totally fine to have your own preference. And if you prefer receiving on the tongue, that's great. I totally support you. But I would urge you not to be exclusive about that, because that hasn't been the church's understanding historically or today, that this is the only way it can be done legitimately. And I especially would encourage you to have a generous and charitable attitude towards people who have a different preference, because the Bible warns us the devil tries to drive divisions into the Christian community and tries to get us thinking evil thoughts about each other. So resist that and respect the preferences of people who have a different preference.
You know, getting a question from Facebook Live like that, Jimmy, it's really just another sign of the tremendous growth, the things that are happening at Catholic Answers Live. But I will just say to the listener, these things cannot happen without you, and specifically without your prayerful financial support. We need your financial support in order to maintain this outreach in all these different areas. It's
something that's very important, and I just wanted to jump in and say, we've got a perfect opportunity for people to call in right now, because we're going into the break between our first and second hour. That means you won't miss anything. If you call in right now, you don't have to worry about missing a question. So call in right now, 888-291-8000, or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and make your donation right now while you're thinking about it, while we've got the lines open, and while you won't miss anything.
Light up those phones. 888-291-8000 is the number to support Catholic Answers Live right now, or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. This is Catholic Answers Live. Today is Open Forum. Our guests today, Jimmy Akin. I am Cy Kellett. This is Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back.